World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our program tonight. If you're watching us in on Phil TV in HD, I'm attempting to give our Phil TV in HD viewers a look at Charleston, West Virginia, where we're going to be going in just a moment to talk to our good friends Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton about, well, what's on the minds of a lot of Americans. And if it isn't, it should be on your mind, and that is the ongoing discussions in Washington concerning the debt ceiling, or will there be a debt ceiling, or won't there be a debt ceiling, and so forth. So we're going to be talking with them about that, and it should make for a very good discussion. So in the effort to sort of get everybody up to speed on that, I thought I'd give people a view here, as best as I can, of Charleston. You can see it there on our Google map. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome, guys. It's a world. It's a news talk and entertainment. It's a world news talk and entertainment show, and it is worldwide. That knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They don't. They won't. They shan't. They'd embarrass themselves if they tried, and they know it. Tonight, President Obama and Speaker Boehner are still trying to settle the nation's debt problem. State Senators Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton will be joining us. Netflix will lose some customers, but most will stay. And Bob Green will join us to talk about a new report on the future of Netflix. 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, WSAR Providence, Rhode Island, and KERN. In Bakersfield, California. And don't forget, on the 7th of August at 3 p.m. Pacific time, Kevin Pollak's chat show. I'll be a guest of Kevin's on Kevin Pollak's chat show. That's kevinpollakschatshow.com. Check it out and enjoy it, because it's an uncensored. It's like a Charlie Rose with nothing censored. So you might enjoy it. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and welcome to the program this evening. And we haven't talked with our good friends Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton in quite some time, both of them state senators in the state of West Virginia. And Kurt and Guy, how you guys doing this evening?
We're good, Phil. I'm good.
Do you guys, can you see the, I think you have Phil TV on, right?
Yeah, Phil, we're looking, I think I'm looking at a street that's called... it's Morris Street. That's sort of a side street in Charleston. And if you move it a little bit further along down the road, you come toward Highland Pharmacy. I see that. But that is our city. That's Charleston, West Virginia. And you've got a nice looking sunny day there. We love it here. And of course, this is our home state. But I will say this, Phil, if you want to experience America, this summer you're driving your family. I know a lot of people, a lot of families love to drive and see the country. I think it would behoove you to, you know.
Take a side trip on West Charleston, too.
Take a side trip on over to Charleston, West Virginia. Say hello to us, and you will see a piece of American history. And remember, Phil, West Virginia was born of several counties in the northwestern section of Virginia. That it made the decision that they are not going to secede from the Union of the United States.
We fought on the Union side. And
now, can I ask you guys a question? The Hatfields and McCoys, was that an outgrowth?
Oh, yeah, that was an outgrowth of the Civil War. Right? I think God knows more about it. Yeah,
Hatfield, McCoy, one party, were in Virginia. Another party of Union, and they were West Virginia. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad blood. But the reason why I said black blood, you're not going to believe it, but one of the members of the McKay
family had a boy named Vlad McKay. And Vlad McKay was shot and killed by a Hatfield who thought his name was McCoy. And they said now they're going to be Vlad blood between the Hatfield and McKay, along with the Hatfield and McCoy.
You hearing this, Phil? That's a crazy story.
You're kidding me.
No. No.
So a young man by the name of McKay was shot by a Hatfield.
That's correct, yes, sir. And his name was Vlad. And so they said there's going to be bad blood. And they said that there will be Vlad blood. And then they
bastardized that down, going to be Vlad blood. Which I think, that's how the language...
Vlad, so they say that there's Vlad blood between who?
There's the Vlad blood between McKay and Hatfield.
Yeah.
And the reason why they say black blood is because it was black blood.
It was Vlad McKay's blood that was spilled by the Hatfields, and so they said that between the McKays and the Hatfields was Vlad's blood.
That is correct, yes, sir. And that became bad blood, but they said it was Vlad blood.
Because they a bastardized version of Vlad.
I understand. All right, well, you're right. History is an interesting and amazing thing. So what have you guys got for me this evening? This is a topic that I don't know. Do you guys sense, are the American people taking this seriously?
I don't know, Phil. I'm not that bad. I'm going to take the answer on that one. I'll take the answer first part. You take the answer that part.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm going to take the answer the first part of your question, Phil.
And I don't know what first part it was.
What I'm saying, he's going to take the first part.
You take the first part, and then Guy can take the second part. What I'm saying is, I don't think American people understand quite now the thing we've got to do. And I think Guy can speak to that.
More than anything else, Phil, what we want to have happen, and American people understand, we've got to raise our debt ceiling because we have got to maintain our AAA. We've got to maintain our AAA credit rating. We don't raise the debt ceiling, we don't pay our bill. Now the whole world look at America like we deadbeat. Like we haven't got a pot to throw it out of. Now, we're the United States of America. Last time I checked, we are the world's biggest economy. And I think it is a sad statement indeed, my friend, when the world's biggest economy, the greatest country in the world, ain't got a pot to throw it out of, walking around wearing a barrel looking for a cigarette butt.
So the point we make, we support that, Phil. But we have to understand that if they don't raise the debt ceiling, some things are going to have to happen.
Well, that's the whole point. What is going to happen? What goes on the chopping block? Let's forget about whether they're going to raise the debt ceiling, whether they're not. You know, hopefully they will. And when I say hopefully they will, I say that with the understanding from the people that I hear that America needs to raise this debt ceiling in order to maintain its AAA credit rating. Now, isn't it also true that if we do not raise the debt ceiling, we're still going to pay our number one creditors, and those would be the people that hold the national debt. Is that true?
Well, yeah, Phil, that is true. I think you might be operating under a misrepresentation if you think that because we pay that bill first, somehow they're going to save our bacon. I don't, and Guy, you can speak to that.
I don't think it's going to save our bacon. In other words, Phil, we pay the Chinese. We hold, you know, the Chinese hold a debt, pay the Saudi Arabian, pay the British. Those are the three largest debt holders, and almost half the U.S. debt foreign home. Now, we pay them all. You think that we're going to have AAA, is that what you say? Because everybody knows that America is on its own rear end. America on an ash can. Now, we got our ass in the can, you know.
So if we pay off those debtors, Phil...
No, hold on for a minute. If we pay off the Chinese, and if we pay off the British, and not pay off, but if we meet the interest on the amount of money, in other words, we meet our payments, right?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Then why would they want to downgrade our credit rating? I understand, hold on for a minute, I understand that we will not be able to pay all of our bills. I get that. And I understand the president has gotten together with the Treasury Secretary in the event that we do not raise the debt ceiling. He's gotten together with Secretary Geithner to sort of laundry list what are the one through, you know, however, bills that we pay. Do you guys know? Do you have an opinion on that?
Let me take the first part of that, and then
second part.
My feeling, Phil, is this. I think you are absolutely right that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, the number one bill that we've got to get paid is almost as if you have a stack of bills in the inbox, just like we have in our house. I'd like to say to American people, everybody in America, we pay our bill. We pay our bill real good. But there have to be some time when we are not making as much money, we don't have as much money in the bank, that we have to sacrifice paying some bills.
And all right, so what would be the list, one through, what's the number one bill you pay?
Well, the number one bill you pay is the interest on the debt. There's no question about that.
You got to pay that. You got to keep China and all of them in line. Not in line, but you got to keep that there. Number two would be infrastructural payment. Payment to federal workers, all the things that keep America moving every day, our highway system, this and that, got to pay that. Number number four, without you got to pay the old people and all of this, you know.
That would be Social Security, and that's Medicare, and no bill. Now, you pay off that.
All right, let's ask this. What bills do you sacrifice?
Well, you'd have to give that. At the very bottom of the list is going to have to be the military, and I'll tell you why. Because the military is at this particular point of luxury. The military luxury.
And we have wars that we're fighting right now. We have.
Well, we understand that, Phil, but that doesn't mean we have wars we're fighting. We've got a lot of things we're doing, but we've got to sacrifice some of these things. Now, the thing you've got to do is you have to suspend a payment on the military, and the best thing to do is bring them home. I'm not trying to influence. I mean, I am in favor of bringing the soldiers home. I am in favor of. I was never in favor of that war in the first place. But I'm talking about nuts and bolts down.
Yeah, it's dollars and cents. Dollars and cents, babe. You don't pay the military. You have to sacrifice something. And
so you're saying we sacrifice the security of the United States. You say that that's a bill you don't pay. You know.
Well, now, hold on for a minute, Phil. I mean, that's the argument a lot of conservatives make. You're not sacrificing the security of the United States of America. You're saying in a short term, which bills you pay, which bill you don't.
You can't pay Medicare, Social Security. I got to pay the debt. They got to pay. I've things I want to do. We got a parkway that's going in. We have a number of different things. The senior center going up. We got 5-6 senior centers that I have personally legislated for. And
you got 5 or 6 senior centers that you have to pay for with federal money, but those don't get sacrificed. What gets sacrificed is the military.
Well, I think it's very emotional, Phil, when you say the military, military, military. Everybody think, oh my God. John Wayne, you know, there ain't not going to be no Marine Corps and all that. You know, I think we got to get ourselves away from the notion, oh my God, oh my God. My God, my God, why thou forsaken me, you know. I forgot what I was going to say.
That was very pretty. That was Jesus on the cross.
And we're like Jesus on the cross, my God, my God. I said, well, look, you're going to live, but you're going to have to bring the troop back.
My God, why is thou forsaken? So you guys are suddenly into the Bible here, right?
Well, I think it's very much biblical.
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to take a break here. We have Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy. What gets sacrificed as of August the 2nd if no debt ceiling is raised? What bills get paid and what bills don't get paid? These two gentlemen who have worked in the State House of West Virginia for a long time, but they've seen the flow of federal money down there, are saying, essentially, that at the bottom of the bird feeder is the military. You're going to have to sacrifice those salaries, those expenditures, those improvements, those equipment upgrades, everything. The military gets sacrificed. Everything else gets paid for, including, in the words there of Guy Barton, 5, 6, 7 senior centers that he has actively supported and has actively gotten federal money for. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. We obviously have to talk a little bit more with these guys about this because I personally don't favor what they're talking about. 877-876-PHIL, Guy Barton and Kurt Quitty will take your calls. What's your take on their attitude toward fixing the nation's debt? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You guys, I'm with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Do you guys see that picture we have on our website right now?
Yeah, I see that picture, Phil. That's the river, though. That's not Kanawha Boulevard. You're on the wrong side of Kanawha Boulevard.
You across the river there.
All right. Well, I'm trying to show again. I'm trying to show my audience on Phil TV what the State House looks like. But you're right. I'm on the wrong address here. Anyway, we're here with Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're talking with the guys about the national debt. So let's talk about this national debt. Let's talk about the fact that the national debt is so high, there are some in Congress who are saying, no way do we raise the debt ceiling, no way do we continue to spend more money, because if you raise a debt ceiling, you are going to be basically encouraging the Congress of the United States to go ahead and spend more money. And they don't want to do that.
Bill, you said a mouthful there, Bill. I'm going to try and, I'm going to try and give you break this down a little bit for you. I mean, even the sun don't shine on the same dog tail all the time, you know.
Yeah, well, you deserve, you know.
So they can say all they want. Republicans say all they want. Republicans say, I don't want to raise no debt. And I don't raise the debt ceiling either. And they can do that, but what do they run the risk of doing? They run the risk of killing an old woman, you know.
Bob, the thing.
Oh, come on. You guys, that's the whole line of baloney. That a lot of these really extreme Democrats, liberals are trying to use, that the Republicans are trying to kill old people.
Well, I mean, we don't want them to kill old people. You going to kill an old lady? No, you're not going to kill an old lady on my dime.
I'm not going to let them do that on my time. So that means that what we have to do, Phil, is we have to take the money, and we've got to find a way to spend the money the right way. And the military is what we're going to have to sacrifice. The military. And believe me when I tell you, I don't want to do that. But that's the only thing we can...
What about sacrificing some of these... One of the reasons why these guys want to do what they want to do is because they want to eliminate a lot of the money in these entitlements, you know, especially these really conservative guys.
Well, they ain't going to do it. I mean, there's no way that you're going to wreck... I don't know what they're thinking. I think they are... I think this is about the goofiest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Would you agree with that, guy?
I think that. You talk Tea Party. Those people are crazy. I mean, they're flat, and I don't say crazy, but they're flat scary. Now, we got some Tea Party here where in the Charleston where the people walk up to you and they look at you. Man, you don't know whether to slip or fall in it. They look scary. They look like they don't, and I don't know if people know anything.
You know, you wonder if yourself if these people know how to add, you know.
And so you're saying that the main, obviously we all know, that one of the main groups of people who are politicking and campaigning against the raising of the debt limit are the
Tea Party people.
We understand that. Ed Boehner is having a hard time with them in his own party. So if you want to cut spending, they're your people. But you guys are talking about cutting the spending of the military.
Yeah, that's the thing over there. I think that shut their mouth real good. You know, that's, hey, okay, I'll cut the spending. I'm going to cut spending. I'll pull all them troops out of Iraq, Afghanistan, all this. Now, I'm not saying the Tea Party is against that. I got to find something they don't like, but you cut the spending on the military. And a lot of them, that'll shut them up good, I think. You know, but...
We'd have to figure that one out to find out whether that's going to work. And I think it would, but that's where we're going to start. We're going to say, all right, you want to cut the spending. I don't blame you want to cut the spending, you know. But I tell you, we got a lot of old ladies, got a lot of Medicare, we got a lot of Social Security, we got the debt and everything. So the only place to cut spending is the military.
Well, I don't know that you're going to find political support for that.
One of the things that I've got, and I wish that I would tell you this, Bill. I wish that I had somehow had a better way. I've got an awful lot of, I've made a lot of promises to a lot of people, you know.
And well, you might have made a lot of promises to a lot of people, but if you're not going to have the money to put these senior centers in that you want.
We will have the money if you cut that military spending.
I don't think it's going to happen. It isn't going to happen. You're not going to find the political will in this country to cut military spending back so much that you're going to be able to, that you're going to have to, in other words, that you're going to forego paying the bills of the United States military in favor of 7 or 8 senior centers that you want to put in, Guy. It isn't going to happen.
I've made the promises to these people. You're telling me that I've made promises to them. I make a promise, and Guy Barton makes a promise to keep it.
Well, you might have made a promise, but who is going to say, okay, let's do it, man. Let's cut back on the spending of the military.
Well, something's got to give. And
all right, something's got to give. And what's going to give is the entitlement spending, Social Security and Medicare.
Well, you can't do it. You cannot cut back on Social Security, Medicare, because the old lady's going to die. And I'm going to tell you something right now.
The old ladies are going to die, huh?
I'll tell you something right now. The Democrats, the Republicans say they don't want to kill an old woman. Well, I tell them, they're going to kill an old woman, sure as God made green apple. If they cut that.
Just stay on the talk of killing old lady. You understand what I'm saying, right, Phil?
You guys really think old ladies are going to die, huh? I mean, that is your that's your rallying cry if these guys have to cut back on some of these entitlement programs.
I think so, yeah. And I'd rather cut back and spend a military than cut back on a spend a senior. And you got old people that you got to put in the ground, and you got to have to explain that to somebody. How many old people you put in the ground today? Hangman. Who you going to put in the ground today? 1, 2, 3, 4. Say hey.
That's an old Hebrew spiritual.
All right, hold on.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here. And with me from Charleston, West Virginia, is Guy Barton and Kurt Quitty, both of them state senators from the legislature there in West Virginia. We've actually got a little bit of a street view of West Virginia. What is that house that I'm looking at there, Guy?
I think that's got to be a guy. This is Kurt. Guy's over. You got to gobble. Hold on for just a minute.
What's he doing?
Guy went over. He's up top of the roof to get a gobble.
Gobble.
He got one gobble. We just got done, you know, filled with dinner, and we just.
What is a gobble?
Gobble. We get ice cream and a cobbler. You know, it's a cobble, and I'm gonna cobble up a gobble.
Cobble up a gobble, Phil. We told you about that.
Is that the? It's an ice cream. It's an ice cream. It's a cobbler, right? A peach cobbler.
Yeah. I'll talk to you. How can you talk and eat?
Talk back.
Did you hear that, man? You know, you asked me where that house is on the corner. I think that's Guy's house. This man's so rich. This man is always eating. Phil, a gobble is a guy is a peach gobbler with ice cream that's served by Rosie. Rosie, the owner of this place, Rosie Montero, and we've known her for many, many years. She's a wonderful woman, and she's a very charming lady, if you know what I'm saying. And a lot of the guys will order the cobbler from her because she has evident charm. And so we call that a gobble. We'll call that a peach gobble.
Gobble up gobble.
Yeah, we'll cobble up a gobble, you know.
And all right, I don't need that much information, okay?
Well, you asked. I mean, I'm trying to be polite.
All right, I understand that, but I didn't know that it was involved with something having to do with her breasts. Nonetheless, so we're talking with Guy Barton and Kirk Quitty. My only question to you, and I know Guy's eating, you, Kurt, that building that I'm looking at there on the corner of the street, well, we're off the, there, what is that?
Well, that looks like that could be a courthouse of some kind. Look like some kind of, what do you think, Guy?
That got to be some kind of government building. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to look.
Yeah, I think that's a government building because you look at a government building, and we say government, government or government, and the governance, you know.
Well, I don't understand. What are you saying?
I said it's a government building, government.
We're talking about government, G-U-B-M-E-N-T, government. You see, hold on for a minute, Phil.
God almighty, what happened?
That gobble cop.
Well, take that back to Rosie, Phil. What do you say to that?
What do you mean, government? What does that mean? What does that mean?
What does government mean? That is a way in West Virginia we talk about government. You can talk about government. And you can talk about government till the cows come home. But in West Virginia, West Virginia politics, we know what it's all about. And we know which side of the bread the butter's on. You believe that, my brother. And I talk about that and say, there's government here.
We get it business done. We get business done. It's called government. You understand?
All right, fine. So that building there is what?
That building there, I don't know what. I thought it might be Guy's house, like I said.
I think that's my house there. You must be.
I think I see a swimming pool around the back. There's only one man rich enough in Charleston, West Virginia to own a house like that. That's Guy Barton.
I've done well. I've done well.
You've done more than well. I tell you what, he's done more than well.
Well, let me ask you something. You got five senior centers going in Charleston, West Virginia there, Guy. With all due respect, that must be worth a lot of money to you.
Kickback?
No, I'm not talking about a kickback. No, I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm simply saying, in the goodwill of the voters, okay?
That's a very nice way of putting it, Phil. As long as you come out to say, and you say that, all right. I'll tell you now, and I'll tell you this, and I say it high and I say it sweet. I'll say it as high, sweet, and tight. I've never taken money and never taken a kickback or cuckoo back. Or, yeah, I've never taken a cuckoo back either, you know.
And what is a cuckoo back?
Well, see, these are phrases that we use in West Virginia government. When we talk about the debt ceiling, we talk about the entitlements, we talk about some of the things we do. We are not in government in West Virginia. We're in government. Okay? I don't take no kickback because it's illegal. That's why we call that a cuckoo back. Yeah.
You got to be cuckoo enough to take a kickback. You don't take. You take a cuckoo. You take a cuckoo.
Yeah. So you got to be some kind of a baby. You got to have the mind of a baby. And we call it a cuckoo back or a goo-goo back. You see what I mean?
And are you telling me that these are phrases that you guys use in regular conversation?
A phrase we're going to use in regular conversation when we're talking in West Virginia. We're talking about West Virginia. I'm not expecting anybody to understand what it is that I'm saying. I'm not expecting nobody to understand what I say. But I do expect, when I talk to Kirk Queedy, I talk to Reggie Bone, I talk to Milt Plumhouse, I talk to any of the people that I know in West Virginia, and I talk to any of the people I've been in business with for a long time in West Virginia, I do expect them to understand what I'm saying. You better believe over here, oh, sweet Jesus. I tell that till the cow come home. You better damn well know what I'm talking about. Well, friend, I swear to Almighty God, I will use you. I will use you as a razor strap. As God is my witness. I'll see you down.
I just come out. I'm sorry, Phil, but we're standing out. The restaurant crowded, and I had to use the bathroom, so we moved it on over here. But what we're saying, what he was telling me about that. Hold on.
Yep. No. Hold on. Yep. Hey.
Hello.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah, hold on. We got Kurt on the phone.
Yeah, I did. No, you tell that man. You tell that man I thought that polecat. I had him look like a polecat. I take the cat home. I don't know. The cat looked like a raccoon to me.
What'd he say?
He said it's his cat.
I don't think that cat. Bull crap.
Phil, that was a constituent of mine. I had taken my car and I'd run his cat over on purpose because it looked like a polecat to me. Now the man tell me that it's a rare, what they call a Scottish wildcat. You ever seen something like that?
And I know what a Scottish wildcat looks like, yeah. That's a very rare cat. Are you kidding?
Well, how the hell are you going to
know? How the hell am I going to know it's a Scottish? I said that damn thing like a polecat. I'll run that thing over. Hell, I'll make a mink coat out of that. You can call me Bat Crap Crazy on a county line. Come on. Yeah, for you.
Yeah, ma'am. No.
Well, you go. Hold on for a minute. I have to talk to you guys.
Yeah, you got to go. All right, I'll send a couple. I'm sorry, because that's an old lady. She's a constituent of mine, and she is a little bit. The woman, she has supported my constituency, my candidacy, for a long time. And
is that Shirley?
Yes, it is.
Let me tell my Shirley. You go get another couple. And do me a favor, will you? Call back Bill Summer, tell him I ran that guy's cattle. I thought it was a polecat. He got a fix for me.
Got it.
Shirley is a wonderful woman, Phil. And what happened to the lady, she a little bit bat crap, but she a wonderful lady. She a wonderful lady, and she's given us a lot of money. Well, she's a little bit bat crap, and she ain't exactly got everything going up the top floor. And I don't mean elevator. I mean the window washer. I don't think anything goes up to the top floor, you know? Nothing going, not even the guy to replace the bulb on top of the radio tower.
All right, I understand. Nothing goes to the top floor.
So anyway, she thinks her house is haunted. And she says she got a ghost, and I'll say this, she got a ghost that got in the bed the other night with her and went ahead and put it to her. You know what I'm saying about that? So I said I'm going to call the police and have the ghost arrested, and she's so goofy, she believed it. And sure enough, I got the chief's son, a young man by the name of Hizen. He went over there, took a ghost out, put it in the car. That I got the ghost down, I got the cuffs on and everything. She said, oh, thank you so much. It doesn't take much to be a politician.
You got somebody who is a constituent of yours who is so out of touch with reality that she thought a ghost got into bed with her, had sex with her. You called a cop.
Yeah, I called a cop. She didn't call a cop. She called me up.
Yeah, what the hell are you? What Kirk got to do about that?
Do I look like the Charleston chapter of Ghostbusters?
Yeah. The Charleston chapter of Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Yeah, what do I look like? Who you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I swear to God Almighty, I swear to God and all the angels in heaven and all the saints that Ghostbusters is the funniest damn thing that I...
Okay, can we get off of Ghostbusters for a minute? and talk about, you know, we're way off the debt ceiling and way off of having anything to do with anything.
We're talking about people, Phil. I think people is a good topic to talk about. I think people...
That's true, Phil. We talk about people. You talk about debt. You talk about debt.
We're talking about Ghostbusters. We're talking about you guys, you owning a house that you must be the richest man in Charleston. What happened with this lady? Can you tell me about it?
Hold up a minute, bud.
I'll gobble it up.
Go ahead.
Wow. Wow! That's the first time she ever done that.
What?
As Rosie come over, she asked Kurt, that night, she said, you want to gobble? He said, hell yeah. Did the Pope Catholic? She's on her way back.
Now, that's the first time that ever happened.
Okay, good for you guys. Can we talk some business now?
I'm sorry, Phil. Anyway, the lady said, you sent a police officer over to my home because I do believe my home is haunted, and I think I've got a ghost. Yeah, I got a ghost. I said, now, Shirley, she said, you don't argue with me. So I sent over Chief Chisholm's son, a young man by the name of Derek. Derek is a deputy sheriff, and he went over, and he arrested the ghost. And he put on a good act, put arrest the ghost, put it in the back seat of the car, took it down to the substation, and this lady's happy.
You see, she's crazy. She's nutty in a fruitcake, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Well, she's a very wealthy lady, and she has donated heavily to my campaign and my reelection many, many times. Now, here's the thing. He's got a problem because the young man, this kid, Derek Chisholm, he's a deputy sheriff. He's a son of the chief of police of Charleston, West Virginia. This kid actually did think he arrested a ghost. Now we got two people in a bad crap. You know.
He's got to be a deputy sheriff. He got a deputy sheriff, the son of police chief. He bad crap. Number one political donor in the city. She bad crap. You know, we're going to back up and bad crap.
Well, anyway, we had a campaign. And
wait a minute. The cop that arrested the ghost just to calm the lady down, he really did think he was arresting a ghost.
Yeah. So that's why we come over to campaign. We've got to get everybody on the right street. We got to get everybody on easy street. And our idea is don't pay down, you lay down, and you're going to be face down. And what does that mean? That means don't.
Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means if we don't pay down the debt, we're going to lay down face down. Now, what happened when you lay down face down?
Right now.
You don't even want to think about that.
Almost as bad would have that polecat.
That's right. I ran that polecat over my car. I'll tell you what. After you don't pay down, you lay down face down, you're going to wish your polecat got hit by me.
I wish you got run over there.
I'll run your ass over. You'll be begging for it. You'll be pleading for it. And so that's the kind of problem we've got right now. But I can tell you, Philip.
Pay down or lay down face down.
Yes, sir. That is the political. That is the political call to action.
What's my dawn tone? And everybody phone bone. Yeah,
that lady's name is Miss Phonebone.
Phonebone, yeah.
Mrs. Phonebone. That's a Don Martin character from Mad Magazine.
That was code word. Now, we used Mrs. Phonebone for Shirley because we don't want anybody to know who she was. She's a very big donor. And, of course, she and Guy had been involved romantically. If you want to, okay, I'll go ahead. I'll put it out there. They were involved sexually at one time. Is that true?
I've got nothing to hide. She's a very charming lady, very charming. But I'm involved sexually, lady. People say I had a sexual liaison with Mrs. Phonebone. You know.
Well, it sounds goofy, but...
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Is this the lady that thought there was a ghost?
Yeah, it's the lady that thought it was a ghost. In fact, when she thought a ghost put it to her, I said, you sure that wasn't Guy coming in the house?
I said, you know, I tell you right now, sure, it wasn't me. Well, no, I didn't say that. I said, Mrs. Phonebone, it wasn't me.
We put out an all-point bulletin, and we said Mrs. Phonebone phoned home, you know, and that means she got a ghost in the house. We sent over this bad crap deputy sheriff. Well, everything all well and end well, but they got to put the deputy sheriff in the nut hatch. Because Phonebone, you know.
What is Phonebone phoned home? You guys have... Hold on for a minute. You guys have got, if you don't pay down, you lay down face down. Now, I understand that. That's the economy.
That's also got to do with Phonebone.
Yeah, Phonebone is at the court. Because Phonebone, I say Shirley...
What's her real last name, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I'm not going to tell you, because this is a code. That's what...
Phonebone.
The last name's Hathaway, Shirley Hathaway. But I don't want to tell you that, because we call her Mrs. Phonebone.
Well, you just told me what her name is.
Say it again?
You just told me Mrs. Phonebone's name.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see, I'll tell you what. That boy's bright, but he ain't that bright.
Yeah, that's true. That's my pappy used to say. That boy is smart, but he ain't that smart. That boy is smart, but I ain't going to bet money that he ain't going to die from electrocution with a knife and a wall socket.
That ain't right.
All right, hold on for a minute. We will get to some discussion, I'm sure, of raising the debt ceiling or lowering the debt ceiling. The closest we've gotten to it with Kurt Quidi and Guy Barton this evening is that if you don't pay down, you lay down face down. And you'll wish that you'd been run over by Kurt Quidi like he ran over that Scottish wildcat that he thought was a polecat the other night. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio.
Wow.
For
wow.
Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. That view that we have on Phil TV and HD, Kurt Quidi and Guy Barton. Guys, that's the Capitol building, right?
Yeah, that's the Capitol right there, Phil. On the view you had of Greenbrier Street, that's on the other side, of Rosie. And that's where we meet, and that's where...
Well, you have to understand, Phil, Rosie's have been a long-time meeting place for... members of the West Virginia State Legislature and all associated bodies, nominating legislative bodies and so on and so forth. And, of course, we sure love doing it. We love people of the state of West Virginia. But what I want to get back to you saying that...
Well, I was talking to you guys about the debt ceiling. And,
yeah, that's correct.
And you guys were talking about a slogan. And I know that you admired Johnny Cochran, and he sloganeered with, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
That's right. You don't fit. If it don't fit, you got to quit. And I thought it was a great idea. And I said, guys, well, Kurt, I mean, I said, Kurt, you know, we got to have something like that.
If we want to have a lay down, you got to pay down. If you want to lay down, pay down. Because, you know, look, man, you don't pay for your fun. My daddy used to say that all the time. You better pay for your funds. If you want to lay down, pay down. If you want to lay down, face down, pay down. Well, I'll flip that around.
I don't understand that.
You want me to? What do I want you to do it? Did you know my daddy? Hell, I might have been your daddy.
I gotta give you five on that. You might have been my daddy.
All right, I heard it, okay?
I'm sorry, Phil. So my daddy used to say, son, you want to have your fun, you got to pay down before you lay down, especially if you want to lay down face down. So I took that, and I said, you know, I said to guy, I said, you know, I think I've done, we got to look at his split. I think we got an idea here. It's going to stand the test of time. I think I like this a lot. I think it's going to got more wear and tear on it, you know, wear and tear on it than your old lady's hind end. He said, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So I said, well, look, if you want to pay down, if you don't pay down, you lay down. And if you lay down, you're going to be laying down face down.
We took that and flipped it around, right? Now, all that stuff coming together, I got the call on the phone bone. And when he told me the phone bone to call, and every time I hear the phone ring, you know, the light up down here, it's like right now.
Did we lose our connection? We'll get them back on. I got Kurt Quidi and Guy Barton on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're trying to get... You guys there?
Yeah, we all said I heard something go dead, and...
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Phil, I'm taking a call back.
Guy got a phone call. What is it?
Phone tone.
Oh, I see. It's a phone bone tone. That's just a... you get a ring?
I bought a ringtone called a phone bone tone.
What do you mean you bought a ringtone?
Ringtone, phone bone, from phone bone. And that's what she called it. That's why we call her Mrs. Phone Bone, because she sells ringtone.
And look, all I want to know, guys, is what is the idea here when it comes to the debt? What do you think we ought to pay down? You've told me that you want to sacrifice military spending.
Hold on. Oh, you're a rubber band man, okay. All right, Phil. Yeah, my feeling is this. I think that what we need to do, if we're going to pay down, and I don't want to lay down, and I sure don't want to lay down face down. And
but, you know, if we lay down face down, we're going to have to lay down face down if we don't buy military spending.
So I think if we sacrifice military spending on our war in Iraq and Afghanistan and all that, and I looked on a map the other day, every country out there, Afghanistan, Pakistan, they got Afghanistan, all that stand. You know, and that's the Soviet color stand. And I said, well, the hell with that. You know, if I'm going to make a stand, it ain't going to be on Stan. You know?
That's the man named Stan. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
So, every time you guys hear a name or every time you guys hear a slogan, you turn it into something even more ridiculous, okay? Now,
well, how are we doing that?
Well, your father telling you if you want to pay for your son, your fun, and...
He didn't say pay for his son. He never paid for me, and I was his son.
Right. Like I said, I might be your daddy.
You better cough up. Cough up on you.
Hold on for a minute. You guys are... You talk about sloganeering, right?
What my daddy said was this, Phil. My daddy said you always got to pay for your fun before you lay down, especially face down. You got to pay down. And that's why I said you take it, and you pay down before you get face down.
Put your face down, right? I told Fumbo Nana, because I didn't mean to say that.
That's all right.
She all fat crap. And that old lady said to me, you know, you tell me I got to pay down, lay down, face down. I said, yeah, you go face down, then you pay down. That's how I got her into the phone bone ringtone business. And that's how I eventually found out about her thinking that ghost living there, and she thought she had sex with a ghost. She didn't have sex with a ghost. She had sex with a deputy sheriff.
So she had sex with that guy?
Yeah.
She had sex with a cop, Phil.
Well, thanks a lot for nothing.
Phil Hendry.
I did the best I could. You want to buy a phone ringtone?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And you don't have to believe me, just ask them. Welcome to the program, and welcome to Phil TV in HD if you're watching us on our website, philhendryshow.com. And by the way, when you're over at philhendryshow.com, you can pick up our best of Phil Hendry legacy CDs. It's our collectible CDs. You can also get our T-shirts. You can get our coffee mug. You can get the official Phil Hendry Show shot glass. And we've got other things that are coming into our merchandise store very, very soon. But I think this is a pretty good way to start off. We're like halfway through the summer right now, so head over there to philhendryshow.com. Also, you will find on our website a list of all of our affiliates, so no matter where you are in the United States, I bet you there's at least one affiliate in every one of the 50 states. So check out our list of affiliates at philhendryshow.com, and that'll give you an idea as to where to listen to our show live, or also tape delayed. Just a potpourri of things. And, of course, our daily podcast you can sign up for as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, we are going to have our news and information hour. And we slowly, and I say we, I slowly make my way toward, I hope, a point of coherence. Because in the middle of this most glorious of summers, and I say that because we've had some great weather here at the beach. And as you know, we broadcast from the El Pacifico. I'm telling you, we've had the best weather that we've had. And when I say the best weather, we are in California, and generally summer is nice. But here at the El Pacifico, we sit in a sort of a pocket on the California coast, and we get slammed with a lot of fog and a lot of low clouds. And generally, it may last all day. This summer, we've had a beautiful, beautiful series of weeks, and I hope it lasts. But the drag is I got some kind of virus when I was visiting family in Canada, so I brought back to the States with the first summer cold I've had in a long time. So I, you know, all I can tell you is thanks for bearing with me, guys. I know it's probably not the greatest thing in the world to listen to, but we're doing the best we can, and we are talking about the issues that are very, very important to you. Bob Green, who is the owner of Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, joins us on our newsmaker line. Bob, you were at Buena Park Billiards tonight, right?
Yeah, Phil. It's a great place for us to relax. I've been coming to Buena Park Billiards, as a matter of fact, Phil, since I was a young man. And it's a good place. I love to play pool, and a good place for a lot of the local businessmen who come and play as well. And we get a friendly game going.
Is it a place where you go to get away from the stresses of work, obviously?
Yeah, it is. And it's very close to our main store in Buena Park, Fraser Foods, and I will oftentimes find myself retiring here to get a little of the, let off a little steam, you know. And sometimes working in working in public service in retail can get under your collar a little bit, Bill. And that's not a comment on our customers. We got the greatest customers in the world, but sometimes I need to let off steam, and I'll come down here and play a few games of billiards, win a few games, win a few bucks. You know, just friendly money that we put on a pool game. And
are you good?
Yeah, I am good. I am good. I don't want to lie. I am. I'm very good, and I let everybody know that I'm good, so I don't want to get into a Paul Newman hustler situation. If you saw that movie.
Yeah, I did see the movie The Hustler with Paul Newman. That was. Are you talking about that scene in the when they identify him as a pool shark?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
That was a frightening and gruesome scene.
Well, yeah, and I certainly don't want that happening to me.
Well, let me tell my audience. In the movie The Hustler, Paul Newman, his character wins a bunch of pool games against some guys that don't appreciate him winning all these games. In fact, they suspect that he came in. Trying to play down his ability, that he was trying to con them into a lot of games.
Well, you're not exactly getting the terminology. He was a pool sharp, and yeah, he played them. He was a pool sharp that played them. Okay, that's all you need to say.
All right, excuse me.
I'm not trying to tell you anything, Phil, but if you've been around pool halls like I have.
All right, but what they wound up doing was breaking his thumbs.
That's exactly right. They broke his thumbs, and that's what's going to happen. Even to this day, in pool halls across America, if you come in and you try to pretend like you're just some guy off the farm, like you're a guy that just walks in with a corn cob in your ear and you just blew into town on the bus, and oh, wow, look at the big city, wow, anybody know where I could get me a bite to eat, you know, that kind of a deal, and then you ring up about 9, 10, 11 wins in a row, oh, yeah, you'll get your thumb snapped the same way Paul Newman did, and you won't be in the very, very good likelihood you're not as good looking as him. So.
All right. Well, I think you've pretty much warned all of us, Bob. So you, when you play pool, you make sure everyone knows how good you are.
Yeah, I don't come in trying to pretend like I'm something that I'm not. I don't come in trying to pretend like I'm some goober, that I'm some goober that just, fell in from out of town. I try to play it straight with these guys, and I tell them, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to play me in pool. You and I are about to play a pool game. And, of course, they're getting impatient. And I say to them, I want you to know something. I'm going to beat you. And I'm probably going to beat you again and again and again and again. I want you to know that now before you put your money on the table. I don't want anybody in here to have any misunderstanding, but I am most likely going to beat the brains in of every single one of you guys. And today I wasn't feeling all that good. I'd had a very tough time at work. And I came in and I used some language and I apologized for it. I said, I got to be honest with every single one of you, C words. And
boy.
Yeah, yeah. It was a tough day, Phil.
You called him the C word.
I said, every one of you C's, I'm going to beat your brains in. And if you want to come back for more, the name's Green, Bob Green. I work right up the street. Bye. And I walked out. And I even, and I'll say this, maybe I shouldn't say it, I broke wind as I they couldn't hear it, but I left,
All right, I understand, Bob. So I think what the point of what you're saying here is that you had a very difficult day at the store. Is that right?
That is right.
Well, tell me about this, because this really gets into what I wanted to talk to you about, and that is the rising price on Netflix. Let me just read to my audience this a little bit of this story from MSNBC. Despite the outcry after Netflix announced a 60% price hike and separate DVD and streaming plans, and I don't know, I think we might have been remiss in getting into the story as deeply as we should have, but it was quite an outcry from Netflix customers. And they all said the same thing. They would never again use Netflix.
Oh, boy, that yeah.
All right. Well, the news today is that despite the outcry after Netflix announced that 60% price hike and separate DVD and streaming plans, most will stay with the service and change their plans, according to a recent survey. After interviewing 500 customers who currently subscribe to both DVDs and streaming, the Diffusion Group, TDG, which was the group that was contracted with to do this survey, predicts that between, and I'm quoting now, 12% and 15% of dual-service Netflix subscribers will, in fact, cancel their service in the next 6 months, specifically because of the new pricing scheme, which amounts to between 2 million and 2.5 million subscribers. In its announcement yesterday of its second-quarter earnings, Netflix revealed it now had 25 million members all over the world from 15 million a year ago. During the quarter, the streaming-only plan continued to gain in popularity, with nearly 75% of our new subscribers signing up for it. With the rapid adoption of streaming, DVD shipments for Netflix have likely peaked.
And that is the name of that game. Let me explain something, Phil, and the reason why I wanted to come on your program. Of course they're going to pay for it, and of course they're going to stay with it. Netflix provides something that the average consumer of at-home entertainment when it came to movies could not get. And that was the, I don't know anything about Netflix. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know a thing about Netflix. I don't know what they do. And I could be, and to be honest with you, I could care less. I'm in the grocery business. But what I do know is this. What Netflix offers, Phil, is very popular. And what Netflix offers is something that a lot of people want. And as the result of a lot of people wanting it, they've made a lot of money. And as the result of them making a lot of money, they got the money that they need to begin to invest in the company in other directions. So Netflix knew exactly what it was doing. The reason why I'm on your program tonight, Phil, is to reinforce with you and with your listeners that as a businessman, I know that you want a good bargain, but I also know I can predict what you're going to do. I can predict what you are, and not you necessarily, Phil, but the people listening, you people out there tonight, I know what you're going to do. And I say this with all due respect, but, you know, you don't really scare me. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Now, the money...
Oh, whoa, hold on for a minute, because we're getting into some pretty pointed remarks here, you know.
No, Phil, I mean, I'm not here, you know, you wanted me to tell the truth. Okay.
How do you know that that kind of honesty is going to play well? And it's probably unnecessary honesty. You're going to do what I tell you to do.
Well, they are going to do what I tell them to do because they're doing what Netflix told them to do, aren't they? Aren't they doing that?
Well, there's 10 to 12%.
Oh, well, 10 to 12%. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. You're right. 10 to 12%. Most of the people are going to stay with Netflix because it's a great service. Netflix knows that. And they know what they want from their customers, and they've gotten it. They've gotten their loyalty, and they're going to get more money out of them. Now, that's what I do. That's what I do at Fraser Foods. Now,
What is the point of talking directly to a customer and saying, you're going to do what I want you to do?
I think customers appreciate it. I think
you really do?
Oh, absolutely. I think customers like being talked to straight. The customer knows that what I'm about to say to him or her is true. I'm going to say to you, what I got, you want. What I got, you need. And what I got, you gotta have. So when I say that, I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm making a statement of fact. I got it, you need it. You want it from me. You want it, and you know you want it. And so when I open the doors of my grocery store in the morning, it is not the most pleasant thing to hear if you're a customer, but you can't deny that it's true. You want it, you need it, and I'm going to give it to you if I feel like it.
What is the benefit of that?
You already asked me the question, Phil.
No, you have not answered the question. You've not answered the question.
I apologize. What was your question?
My question is, what's the benefit of that?
Well,
what's the benefit of saying to a customer, You want what I got, and I'm going to give it to you, maybe.
It is the kind of honesty that at a subconscious level the customer appreciates. And
so if you talk that way to a customer, you're telling me they come back.
That's exactly what Netflix just told them. That's what you're missing. Okay?
So in effect, you're saying that's what Netflix said.
That's exactly what they said. Well, they didn't say it exactly like that. But by raising the prices on people that are loyal, and are loyal because of the price structure, and are loyal because it was something they could get for a very, very affordable price, they're basically saying, guess what? We're going to raise the price on you, and you ain't going to have, you got nothing to say about it. Not only do you got nothing to say about it, you're going to stay, and you're going to give me even more of your money.
Now, how does that make you feel?
And well, that's not exactly what they're saying.
That is, in essence, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
What you just said on the air, you know what, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, let's take a break, because you're beginning to mumble and stutter. And
no, I'm not, no. I beg your pardon?
Well, you're going with you, and that cold you've got.
Hey, Bob, you know what? I'll take care of me, you take care of you, okay?
Well, it sounds like you're stealing the slow. You know, I got what you need, you know?
So, hold on, and we'll get to you when I feel like getting to you. How about that? Robert Greene with us as he explains Netflix and the price hike and the fact that people might have protested, but guess what? They're going to stay with Netflix, they're going to pay the price, and they're going to be happy. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods as we talk with him about the rising prices at Netflix. And as the owner of a business, Bob, and you've just spelled out, you know, I mean, look, I know when I talk to you...
I'm going to be a straight shooter.
You're going to be a straight shooter. I'll give you that, okay? I mean, you're talking to me about shooting pool down there at Buena Park Billiards, and you're walking in and telling these guys, I'm going to take your money.
Well, I believe in being absolutely honest with customers. It has bore me in good stead all these years, and I think it'll continue to bear me in good stead. I don't believe in bullcrapping people. Excuse my language. I don't believe in... going up to people and saying, you know, this, that, something else. Just a lot of hooey, just a lot of horse dung. I believe in giving people a straight scoop, and that's what I do when I walk in and I shoot a game of pool with people. I tell them, you know, I'm going to beat your brains in, so you better bring your A game. And even if you bring your A game, you're going to get your brains beaten in so bad that you may give up billiards. You may give up billiards.
All right. So...
Before you move on, did you hear what I just said?
You tell people you're going to beat their brains in so bad they may give up billiards.
Exactly. That's exactly what I say. Okay? So, before I move on, what are you going to move on to? What I just said there, aren't you going to comment?
You've already made the point that you're a great billiard. You're a great pool player, okay?
Yeah. Boy, this is the reason why I came down here today. You know?
Today, I mean, it's, right now, it's almost, it's 11:30, all right?
Yeah, and I'm a grown adult, Phil. I'll go where I, what are you saying?
I'm just saying, you didn't come, how long you been there?
I've been here since 3 o'clock this afternoon. That's how upset I was at the store. Because what was happening at the store was that I had people coming in, And I would engage them in discussion about Netflix. They would ask me, where's the milk? Where are the Band-Aids? Where's this? Where's that? And I'd say, before I tell you that, what do you think of the Netflix deal? A lot of people have heard about it, and they'd say, I don't like it. I said, and that's just for something you don't need. Who needs movies? Where does Netflix get off telling anybody that they even need their lousy product, which is their lousy, rotten movies? But guess what I got at my store, Phil? What do you think I got at my store?
You've got food. You have things.
That's there. Give the man a cigar. I've got food. I've got Band-Aids. I've got milk. I've got food for babies. I've got baby food. Baby food. I've got the little jars of baby food. And if you've ever been to the store, if you've ever done shopping to get the baby food, you see the little baby, and there's a baby on a jar, and that's a baby, and in it. It's baby food. I made a joke to a lady one day. I said, yeah, this is baby food. It's made out of baby. And I thought it was funny.
And she got very upset with me. But I said, but guess what? At the end of the day, you still got to buy this. Netflix, you can say no to. But you got to eat this. You. If it ever got to the point, Phil, where the lady was starving, she'd have to eat baby food. And she'd eat it even after I made the joke about the fact that it's made out of baby. So
What are you saying now, man? What are you talking about now, if you don't mind me? Because I just got off the phone with Kirk Queedy and Guy Barton last hour, and they weren't making any sense at all. You are on your way down that road.
Whoa, wait a minute here. You asked me about the Netflix deal to come on and talk about it.
Yes, I did.
I'm giving it to you as straight as I can. Netflix, people love it so much, they're going to pay for it. Now, what do you think that means for my business?
It means that if they're going to pay that much money for videos, they will pay what they have to pay for food.
There you go. Even if I say to them, this is baby food made out of baby.
Why? And you do that, Bob. Why?
Hold on for a minute. Is that your quarter? Is that your quarter? All right. I do that.
Are you in the middle of a game?
I'm next up. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking with Robert Greene here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking about the Netflix deal. People are not going to complain. They're going to pay the price.
That's right.
All right. And that means they're going to pay the price in your store.
That is exactly right.
So that means, basically, you don't owe them courtesy.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I do owe them courtesy. I give them the courtesy of an honest answer.
But what's the point, Bob, of saying... what you said to that lady. You asked her about the Netflix deal.
I asked the lady, I said, what do you think of the Netflix deal? She said, I personally don't like it. I don't want to pay the price. I said, but you will, won't you? And she wouldn't make eye contact with me. She just looked at her feet. She said, yes, I will. I said, that's right. I said, and you'll also buy this baby food, even if it was made out of baby. And that's when she nodded. She said, yes, I would even do that.
You know, I want to ask you more about that. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I don't believe that at all.
Well, so now you're calling me a liar, huh? That's my quarter.
Phil Hendry.
My quarter.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, and we're talking with Bob about the price increase at Netflix. And Bob is speaking to us this evening from Buena Park Billiards, which is a pool hall down from Fraser Foods. You mentioned, Bob, that you went there to relax.
Yeah, well, I came down here, Phil, to blow off a little bit of steam.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I'd like to, but I say this as a friend and someone that has been on your radio show before, but I'm not sure that I want to chance it because my honesty tonight has not exactly served me in good stead.
Well, Bob... if there's something you want to say, I please say it. I'll ask you about it.
Well, that's just it. I don't think you've asked me questions that I feel have been fairly framed.
I promise that I will attempt to frame my question honestly, fairly.
Well, there's a Freudian slip. I promise honestly, fairly. So that's what...
I meant to say fairly.
I'm here at this billiard hall because I was in my place of business today... And I felt myself being driven from my own place of business, being driven from my own place of business by the outrage that I was feeling by the answers I was getting from a lot of the customers. When I asked them, what do you think of the Netflix price increase? And they all said, we don't like it, we don't like it, we don't like it, we don't like it. And then when I said, oh, by the way, I'm going to raise the price of baby food. They said that they were going to shop somewhere else. They said that, how dare I? They threatened boycott. Now,
did they leave?
No, they did not leave, but that's not the point. The point is, they will complain about the price increase, but you know and I know that they're going to stay with Netflix. And Phil, I'm in a billiard hall. I'm in a pool hall, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to speak as if I'm in a billiard hall, and I hope you'll forgive me. But what these people are proposing to do is to put on the high heels if they are a guy and essentially pick up the soap and...
Okay, and they're bending over for Netflix.
Yes, they're bending over for Netflix.
And they're not bending over for you.
I don't think anybody's got to bend over for Bob Green. Okay? No one has to bend over for Bob Green or Fraser Foods. We are heterosexual business people. And we do business in a heterosexual way is what I mean. So when you take it from us, you're taking it face to face. We don't do business in a homosexual business model.
What is that? I'm very curious. A homosexual business model, meaning somebody's face.
Yeah, well, keep on trying to get to it there, Porky. I mean, and
what does Porky mean?
Well, you're going be. I'm saying to you that.
No, I'm saying to you, Robert, because you're doing some amazing.
Boy, you got to get that throat fixed. Amazing. I don't think it does you any good. It doesn't sound manly.
I will. Thank you very much. I'll take your advice. Under advisement, I'm talking right now about the Netflix deal. People don't like it, people are bitching about it, but they're going to do it. That is your point. And you made that point at the very beginning of the program. You said that that's how business is. People will complain, but they pay the price because they know a good product.
That is correct.
All right. Can you not just say the same thing about you?
Yeah, you can say the same thing about me, but they don't say that. What they say instead is this. How dare you? I'm going to boycott. How dare you? And
they were saying the same things about Netflix.
No, they were not saying the same things about
Netflix. Yes, they were saying the same things about Netflix. I heard them saying the same things about Netflix. I heard people and I saw people on Twitter saying that they were canceling their subscription. Okay.
Well, okay. I understand that. But there's a disconnect here, Phil, between the way they're talking about Netflix, making all that money, and people coming back to them, even though they were complaining, and a woman looking at me like I am the second coming of Albert Fish, the notorious child murderer and cannibal. Okay? You heard what I just said, right?
Yes, I know who Albert Fish is.
Okay, so it doesn't get lower than that. It doesn't get lower than that than to stand there in an apron in the middle of the baby food aisle, talking to a customer. I'm in an apron. I've been here since 6 a.m. I've got boxes of cilantro. I've got boxes of parsley. They are rotting as we speak. They're beginning to stink the store up. That's how rotten they're getting. But guess what? I'll stand there and I'll listen to the customer compare me to a notorious child cannibal. Rather than be rude to her, as she tells me, how dare you this and how dare you that? Now, do you think anybody at Netflix has to put up with that?
Well, Bob, it's one of the drawbacks of the line of work you're in. You're in a kind of retail business that is face-to-face.
Well, but no, what are you talking about? Why can't I do what Netflix does?
Do you want to start selling food via the Internet?
Oh, well.
Yeah, oh.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is no one at Netflix has to stand there and listen to a woman look them up and down. And that's what this woman did. She looked from my shoes, which are Italian, by the way, but I guess that didn't make any difference to her, all the way on up the green apron to a hair system, a $15,000 hair system. And she says to me, well, it looks like your hair's on crooked. I said, boy, I said, you know, I've been nothing but polite to you. I said, that is a hair system. And she says to me, you've got a rug or something. I said, I really was tempted to say something racial because she, you know, was...
Was she black?
No, she wasn't black. I don't go there with my black customers. But she looked like kind of some other race. But I didn't do it because I'm not a racist. And
well, that's... Bob, you know, if you're looking for brownie points for that, you know...
I'm not looking for brownie points.
Well, you're saying I was tempted to be racial. Isn't it true that because of the line of business that you're in, because you are in face-to-face retail business and you are not in a mail order or an internet-style delivery business, you are in face-to-face, off-the-street retail business. You're a grocery store owner. You are a millionaire. You own a lot of stores, but the fact is that's what you do. Isn't it true that you're going to have to suffer the customer's ill will?
No, it's not true. I don't have to put up with that. I don't believe that I should have to put up with that. So what's your point?
So what is your alternative?
I don't know, Phil, but my alternative was with this lady. As I said, hold it right there. I listened to about 15 minutes of her as box after box of cilantro and parsley rotted to the point of stench.
As come on, that stuff's not going to rot that fast.
Well, it was sitting there behind me getting warm, and I needed to get it over to produce, but I didn't. And as soon as I was done talking with her, I rolled it back into the stock room, and I said, I want all you guys to see something. I took what looked to be, there was about four boxes of cilantro. I took them right back to a dumpster. I said, watch this. And I threw all four boxes into the garbage. I said, you like that? And they're looking at me stunned because, you know, let's face it, you work in a stock room, you're not that bright. I said, you guys like that? Huh? You know, no response. And I walked out. That's what she did. And
she didn't do that. You did that.
No, I don't, maybe you haven't heard me.
I've been listening to everything you're saying. That's not what she did. You did that. Okay? So, what did this woman...
This lady stood there. Hold on for a minute, because I got to give Joey... You ready? One, two. One, two, three. Go. That's good.
What's that?
Well, I've given these guys tap dancing lessons. And the reason why I'm giving them tap dancing lessons, to be perfectly honest with you... is because I've gotten so many complaints about the fact that we raised the price on baby food. I said that what we will do is we are raising the price on baby food, but I want some guys in the aisle. I want to do a special giveaway, so they're dancing.
And you got guys doing what?
I said I don't speak Chinese, Phil.
You got guys that are dancing.
They're tap dancing. Come here. Do that again, because I don't like that. No, it's one, two, and then click. Heel click. That's good, okay? Stop. That's good. So
you're giving these guys tap dancing lessons.
Yes, I am.
Did you ever tap dance?
No, I did not. No, I never tap danced. And if I ever had tap danced, I'm sure as hell not going to tell you, because I'm sure it'll be all over town by tomorrow.
Well, you're on the radio right now.
Well, all the more reason.
But, all right, so you're standing there with this woman. 15 minutes later, what happened?
What happened was that I told you what happened. I took the baby food, and I said, you want to know something, Mrs. Jarvis? That's her name, Mrs. Jarvis. I said, you see that baby food? I said, I could sell that to you for $6 for a little tiny 4-ounce jar, and you'd eat it with a smile on your face, even if it was made of ground-up kid. And with that, I turned and stormed out.
And that's why that...
That's how I got down to the billiard hall, yeah. I don't know if that lady's still a customer. I don't know. Hold on for a minute. All right, Jerry's next. Jerry. One, two. One, two. Hold on for a minute. Put your tie on. One, two, and a one, two, three. All right, good. That's good. That's good. Oh, yeah. Put him in the overalls. All right.
What are you telling me? You've got a floor show going?
No, I don't have a floor. No, I don't have a floor show going. Ha ha. I've got the guys.
Oh, they're dancing in the baby food aisle.
Yes, the kids are stocking and dancing. So I said to myself, folks, I know that we've raised the price on baby food, and I know you're going to pay it. But I'm going to do something that even Netflix won't give you. I'm going to give you a little entertainment, even as you're buying jars of what could very well be human baby. All right, go. One, two, one. And remember to heel click, heel click. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So,
get out of here. What a maniac. All right, Robert Greene, we'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now he's got a tap dancing routine going in his baby food aisle, and that is because even though he's putting it to them with the price of baby food, he wants to give them a little something extra like a tap dance. Well, I can tell you that the Netflix price increase, folks, and we'll continue to talk about this with Robert Greene, but the Netflix price increase was vehemently protested, and yet here we are 1 week later. Most people are going to recommit to Netflix. Most people are going to continue doing business with Netflix. And Bob pretty much has said the same thing. Only in his line of work, it isn't a movie, it's baby food. And to quote Bob, he says his people will continue to buy that baby food, even if he talks them into believing it's ground-up baby. Unreal. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Turn that off. World-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Those of you looking on Phil TV and HD, that's Buena Park. In fact, that's the entrance to Knott's Berry Farm. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we have Robert Green on the line with us from, actually from Buena Park Billiards this evening. Bob, we've been talking, and I guess I should ask you, how you doing in your billiard game tonight?
Well, I have not played any billiards since you and I started. I mean, I do have a quarter up on the table. When are you guys going to be doing it again? I'm on the radio right now. If I can, if just for a minute, Phil.
I got so many guests that keep going off the air on me here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I understand. How long are you guys going to be with this game? Well, do either one of you guys know how to play pool? Is that right? You know, anytime, anywhere. Anytime, anywhere.
Okay, Bob.
Hold on for a minute, will you, Phil? Keep your shirt on, will you? Hold on for a minute. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm on the air right now.
I know you're on the air. Hold on. What'd you say? Anytime, anywhere. You know what that means, don't you? Anytime, anywhere. I'll play you guys. I'll play you with half a stick. I'll play with one arm. You could break my arms before I play. Yeah, keep laughing, funny man.
Hey, Bob.
What?
Do you want to go ahead and just get into your fight, and that way we can conclude our interview?
I'm not going to get in any fight. Don't worry about it. You guys aren't going to fight. You know, you guys are lovers. You're not fighters, huh? You're lovers. You're not fighters, right? Yeah, they're going to do it. So the point that I was making with you, Phil, earlier is that while we are intent on saving our customers, we're also intent on making sure that we maximize a little bit of a profit. I'm not about to sacrifice a profit margin because somebody was getting something for free for a long time. I think what happened at Netflix is that people got used to an incredible deal, and they thought that the world was not going to change, that everything stays the same. Everybody is in a fairyland. Everybody is living in a fantasy land, and they think that nothing changes, everything stays the same. Well, guess what? Those people got a taste of reality last week. They got a taste of reality, and they were not exactly facing reality, okay? Can I put it that way?
I get your analogy. Once again, there's, that rape analogy.
Well, no, it isn't rape. It's just it's something they weren't anticipating, is what I'm saying. Hold on. Go ahead. Now, that's not good enough, so watch this.
Yeah! How'd you do?
Gave him a shock, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you having guys coming in and tap dancing?
I've got some of the guys coming down to the store, and I'm waiting for these guys. Well, I may be a dance director, but I play pool better than you. Either one of you guys. I think you guys, if I give you guys a week, you guys will have this game done. God almighty. You want to see these two stumble bums.
You know, Bob.
Don't you know Bob. Don't. No. Not you know Bob. All right, come here. I mean, if you're not going to interview me...
I'm interviewing you, and you're in the middle of auditioning tap dancers and trying to get into a fight. Now, the question that I had for you, because we had a very good article here today... Oh, God.
Faster, come on, do it again. Do it again! Faster! All right, to hell with you. That'll teach you. So,
all right, I'm going to let you go now, Bob.
Go now, Bob, what?
I'm going to let you go because I think we're all done with Netflix. We're all done with everything. You're electrocuting people. They're tap dancing. You're pissing off two guys that are playing pool. You're telling people that you're selling ground up, baby. You're not even at work.
Well, you know something? I own the company. I can do what I want.
Now, I understand you can do what you want. You've given me a great education in how you do business. And
well, I'm
doing business no different from Netflix, my friend. No different at all. No different at all. Netflix did the Netflix equivalent of telling its customers, here, here's a jar of baby. Now eat it. You like the taste, but you know it's baby. And we were going to put that up. You know it's baby, and yet you'll still eat it. Welcome to Fraser Foods.
All right, Robert, thank you very much.
All right, well, again, I know you're probably going to talk about me when you hang up. You're probably going to say that I'm a douchebag. You're probably going to say...
No, I'm not. I'm saying thank you, Bob, very much.
Well, I don't think you're being honest, Bill, but I want people to come to Fraser Foods, see for yourself, come into our baby food aisle. It's the only thing we've raised the price on. No, we don't sell baby. God.
Well, you know what? You have...
Hold on for a minute. I haven't done anything.
You've been saying all night long that this is a jar of baby and you'll eat it.
No, I didn't. I said if it was. And I want people to know we don't sell ground up baby. We're not asking you to eat it. And the only guy that's going to be eating something is this guy here that I'm going to play pool. That's right. That's Mike Porter. Did you win? How about this? Hey, Phil, the guy finally sunk the egg. Hey. All right, no, I'll see. One thing's for sure, this game's going to be a lot quicker. Yeah, rack 'em, handsome. Okay, Phil, so the point that I made, and I don't think you let me make it, was that no, I don't sell baby, but they would eat it if I did. Same as Netflix.
All right, Bob. Thank you very much. Good luck in your billiard game.
Good looking, Rack. What's that?
Good luck in your billiard game.
I thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you. Robert Green from Fraser Foods. I can't yell over that crowd. You know, like I said, I'm getting over this cold. He's got a crowd of people in that place. It's a billiard room, or some kind of a pool hall. And I just can't keep shouting over top of these guys. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. So we thank Robert Green very much for his commentary this evening. And as I mentioned, Netflix made the announcement. They said that. They will lose between 12 and 15% of their dual-service Netflix subscribers. They will cancel their service in the next 6 months, specifically because of the new pricing scheme. That amounts to between 2 million and 2.5 million subscribers. In its announcement yesterday of its second quarter earnings, Netflix revealed it now had 25 million members all over the world from 15 million a year ago. So they have gained 10 million. And they will lose, as you just heard, 12 to 15% of the total number that they have. I don't know what the percentage is of the people that they have that they've gained over the last year. So the point here, folks, is that Netflix knows what it's doing. They know their business. They know what the demand is, and they know they got your business. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our news and commentary hour coming up next hour.
Phil Henry.
Rack 'em.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And a very pleasant good evening. Welcome to our News and Information Hour. And, of course, you're welcome to visit us on our website, philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show right now on Phil TV. You can check that out. You can also check out our Saturday night show on KFI in Los Angeles. You can see that on our Phil TV and HD. So even if you're not living in L.A. and you don't listen to the radio in the car, you can't get the station in the car, you can pick it up. And, of course, we have great affiliates all over the country. Please visit our website and look at our affiliate sheet, and you can find one of our many great affiliates. And like that, we're very happy to be with you here. Let's take a look at what's happening in the world right now. I just wanted to remind you of a couple of things before we do. We're going to be at the NAB on a panel in September. I'll be with Bubba the Love Sponge. Joel Denver of Radio Fame is also going to be on the panel. So if you're in Chicago and you're anywhere near the National Association of Broadcasters get together, and you don't just want to go in and listen to a bunch of suits droning on and on and on, which is generally what happens, I'm going to be there this year, and it's always guaranteed to be an exciting time when Phil shows up. because generally the suits just want to turn and walk out of the room because I just speak too much truth for those guys to handle. I ain't going to go away, boys. It isn't going to happen. And, you know, I don't care. I've got to the point now where I don't really give a damn what you think. You know, it's a fine business. It's a great business. I really dig being on the radio, but as businesses go, it's like any other business. You know, it's like the auto business. It's like the real estate business. It's like the banking business. You notice I've named three businesses that are not doing too good. Well, radio's right there. Make that four. But you guys know what you're doing. You're doing great. So don't come on in and we'll have a drink, okay? I do know you know how to do that, right? Okay. All right, so in our news here this hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Missouri Congressman Carrie Hilson, Microsoft apologizing after offensive Amy Winehouse tweets. Well, here we go. A spate of insensitive tweets and quotable moments had everyone from a Missouri congressman to Microsoft apologizing this week after the death of Amy Winehouse. I told you about this last night. I told you there was a whole bunch of people that decided that it was okay, Amy Winehouse was fair game, to crap on because she was an alcoholic and drug user. And I tried to explain, not that it's something that everybody's stupid about, but a lot of people are. I tried to explain that alcoholism and drug abuse is not a character failing. It has nothing to do with one's soul. It doesn't have to do with whether anyone's right with God. It doesn't have to do with, you know, whether or not you are were a good little girl or a good little boy. It's an illness. It has to do with the biochemistry of the brain. People that use those things are medicating. What do we mean by self-medicating? We mean they know there's something wrong with their lives. They're depressed, and they need to make themselves feel better, so they look and they see and they do drugs. Now, in the last 50 to 60 years, believe it or not, this may come as a big shock. There has been a lot of work in pharmacology, and they've come up with drugs that treat depression, schizophrenia, bipolar, eating disorders, anorexia, and they work. Why? Because there is now a database of EEGs, that is electroencephalograms. We can read the brain waves, and we can take that, and we can begin to cross-reference all of that, and we recognize certain traits having to do with certain maladies, and we can prescribe the drugs based upon that. It used to be where there was no blood test for brain chemistry, so they had no way. It was just hit and miss. Here, take a few of these, take a few of those. Well, they're getting better at it. It's very possible that within the next 50 to 60 to 70 years, drug addiction and alcoholism will be gone. It'll be gone. Gone, as we know it. It may be one of those victories that nobody anticipated. That because of this work in pharmacology, there will be no more drug addiction or alcoholism. But that's too late for, not soon enough, I should say, for Amy Winehouse. And also because we still live in a bit of a puritanical country. This doesn't have anything to do with government or what the government's doing to us. This has to do with good old-fashioned American culture. We're still really stupid when it comes to booze and drug addiction, and we talk like idiots. Congressman Billy Long issued a mea culpa on Monday after he compared the pop star's drug problems to problems of government spending. No one could reach Amy Winehouse before it was too late. Can anyone reach Washington before it's too late? Both addicted, same fate. That doesn't sound like... I wouldn't have apologized for that. That doesn't sound bad at all. On Monday, he told the Springfield News Leader that he apologized after his tweet went viral. Although I do believe spending 42% more than we take in is an addiction, I certainly meant no disrespect to Amy, her family, or her fans. She was one of the few true artists to come along in a long time. What happened to her was a senseless tragedy, and drawing an analogy wasn't meant to minimize the loss of life. If anyone took offense, I sincerely apologize. I don't even think he should have apologized for that. That wasn't bad at all. Well, I mean, Phil, you know, comparing her to government spending, don't you have any respect? People are croaking all over the bloody place. Death, we might as well start facing something here, right here and now. And it's something we've avoided since the beginning. Everybody's going to die, you know, and that is as much a part of life as birth. So quit pretending like it doesn't exist. Okay? I'm not saying you got to drag somebody's name through the mud. But we don't have to act like we're at a cotillion or something, like we're at the debutante's ball and everybody's got to be, you know, like grandma's trying to sleep and we all got to tiptoe around it. You're respectful. But there's nothing wrong with comparing someone's death to what's happening in life. I don't think he should have apologized at all. I think it's a perfectly legitimate comment. And the family, if the family took offense, this is what I would say to some family. I don't think it's right to mock or insult the woman, but to compare her death to a larger reality, there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Microsoft also backtracked after the original public relations Twitter for Xbox 360 UK had a tasteless tweet following the singer's death. Remember Amy Winehouse by downloading the groundbreaking Back to Black over at Zune, zune.social.net/album/Amy-Wine, the company tweeted on Saturday. What's wrong with that? What the hell's wrong with that? They're talking about downloading her album. Oh, yeah, but you're commercializing. So what? Has anybody insulted this woman? Has anyone... The stuff I was reading on Twitter about her being a no-count skank and a slut and a C-word and a T-word, and those people are not going to apologize for anything. They think they're real... I mean, they think they're real bold with that stuff. They're the stupidest people out there. They're not going to apologize for anything. They're not bright enough to apologize. I can't wait for one of their sisters or mothers to die. I will pile on when that happens. Believe it. They quickly apologized with numerous follow-up tweets saying they admired the late artist. Of course you admire her. You're asking people to download her album. Celebrities also had a hard time expressing themselves properly, like singer Carrie Hilson, who tweeted a picture of herself posing with a brunette drag queen and captioned it, gasp, Amy Winehouse resurrected to party with me. All right, that's stupid. That she should apologize for. As people don't understand what I'm saying, I don't see anything said by Billy Long that was all that bad. He took her death and compared it to a larger reality. That is the debt crisis. I don't see anything wrong with Xbox. They took her death and they used it to promote her work. I don't see anything wrong with that. Some people think, well, you're commercializing the woman's death. It's very tragic. Yeah, that's what you're doing. But you're using her death to promote her work. You're not calling her a name. You're not characterizing her as something negative. I don't see anything to apologize. Now we move on to, guess what? Some dumbass singer named Carrie Hilson, whoever, who starts making jokes about drag queens looking like Amy Winehouse. Now that is offensive. But the problem is most people don't know the difference, and most people don't want to be compared with the finer differences between somebody making a legitimate comment about life and some other ass with no real sense of humor trying to be funny and saying, oh, look at this, it's Amy Winehouse resurrected. Now, after fans of the late singer drew offense, Hilson quickly tweeted, bedtime, I apologize to anyone who might have taken it the wrong way. Who might have taken it the wrong way. As a fan, I thought it was cool that she dressed up to honor Amy. I had no ill intent, but I understand how it appears insensitive. My bad, Twitterville. For real, good night, Jay. Okay. What's Jay? Winehouse was found dead in her London apartment on Saturday. She was 27. There are a lot of people who tweeted all kinds of offensive and disgusting things. There were a lot of people who felt that they were entitled to tweet that because she was a drug addict, because they're stupid and they don't know what drug addiction is. It would be wonderful to keep track of all the people that did tweet those things negatively, and then when you find out that someone close to them dies, well, you can really lay into them. I'd just like to say I lost my mother last night. Ha, ha, ha. Boy, I'd love to do that. I wouldn't, but, you know, it might be fun. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is our News and Information Hour. We'll get into some more news. Some companies refuse to hire the unemployed. Is it fair? Is it legal? We'll get into it. Plus, David Wu's going to resign and other news. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Unemployed told by employers not to apply. The unemployed need not apply. That is the message being broadcast by many of the nation's employers, making it even more difficult for 14 million jobless Americans to get back to work. A recent review of job vacancy postings on popular sites like Monster.com, CareerBuilder, and Craigslist revealed hundreds that said employers would consider or at least strongly prefer only people currently employed or just recently laid off. Well, that's an unemployed person. Unemployed workers have long suspected that the gaping holes on their resumes left them less attractive to employers. What is unusual about that? This is not news. Unemployed workers have long suspected the gaping holes on their resumes left them less attractive to employers. No kidding. When'd you figure that one out? But with the country in the worst job crisis since the Great Depression, many had hoped employers would be more forgiving. Where are we? What is wrong with us? Did we all of a sudden become a country of children? Is that what's going on now? I mean, I'm telling you, we talk about the greatest generation, or we talk about this generation. What generation is this? You talk about a bunch of soft people. More forgiving? Are you out of your minds? Or did Catherine Rampwell of the New York Times just make that up? Are you crazy? When have you ever been given any indication, ever, in the history of this country, that an employer is suddenly going to be more forgiving because of a unbelievably bad spate of economic news? When have you ever gotten that information? When have you ever? And by the way, I'll say it again. This is not the worst recession since the Great Depression. The jobless numbers, the inflation numbers, the interest rate numbers from the early 80s recession were much worse. Much worse. As a percentage of the workforce. So I don't know what these people are talking about, but folks, do yourself a favor and get wired into reality. You are working. There's a terrible thing that's happening in our country. It's a terrible thing. The media, the mass media, mainstream media, whatever you want to call them, even the non-mainstream media, even the small media, nobody's getting it right. Everybody's misreading it. Everyone is lying to you because they think you're going to buy their newspaper. You don't have to believe me. You can keep on believing the same horse dung you've been believing, but I'm telling you the truth. You're getting lied to. You're being manipulated by these jackasses that can't sell a newspaper. This is the New York Times. Do you understand? What do you think's happening with the New York Times? They got a firewall, a subscription package, a subscription business that may or may not be saving the newspaper. Of course, people that are long unemployed are less attractive. There's never been a time when they were more attractive, ever, in the history of the world. When you're unemployed for a long period of time, an employer is going to take another look at you. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to get the job. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will remain unemployed. But you're not as attractive as someone who is currently in a job looking to improve their station in life. Or someone who was recently laid off in an economic situation, well-publicized and well-understood by competing businesses. They had to downsize. Stuff's going on. We want to gobble up their best people, and they go ahead and they do that. That's a different situation entirely. If you're long unemployed, yeah, you're going to be less attractive. Now, this next line, though, makes me laugh. Many had hoped employers would be more forgiving. You got to be putting me on. You got to be some kind of a child. I feel like I'm being shunned by our entire society, said Kelly Wiedemeyer, an information technology operations analyst who said a recruiter had told her that despite her skill set, she would be a hard sell because she'd been out of work for more than 6 months. Legal experts say the practice probably does not violate discrimination laws because unemployment is not a protected status like age or race. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission recently held a hearing, though, on whether discriminating against the jobless might be illegal because it disproportionately hurts older people and blacks. So what are you telling me? You're going to make hiring people a mandate so that it becomes a social service? It's no longer an enterprise, a privately run commercial enterprise. Now it's a social service. You think this is helping? The practice is common enough that New Jersey recently passed a law outlawing job ads that bar unemployed workers from applying. New York and Michigan are considering the idea, and similar legislation has been introduced. Well, the mistake they're making there is they are actually coming out in public and saying, don't come in here if you're unemployed. That's a stupid thing to do. Given that the average duration of unemployment today is 9 months, a record high, limiting a search for the recently employed, much less the currently employed, disqualifies millions. The positions advertised with preferences for the allegedly for the already employed run the gamut. Some are for small business, others for giants. Well, the point here, folks, is that there's nothing different about this than any other time. So, you tell me how that story, how telling you that they don't hire unemployed, you're not as attractive, how that's going to help you. I mean, you know, more Americans are unhappy with Obama and the GOP. Let's talk about this economy that we were talking about with Bob Green just very, very briefly. As I said to you, if you want to look at the numbers, they're not any worse than the ones in the early 1980s. That's number one. Number two, they can play it any way they want to play it. The Republicans, I understand, have a ideologic necessity or a need, if you will, to maintain the spending at a certain level. This is the ideology of the Republican Party right now, is the following thing. That is, cut down government spending as much as they can. And more to the point, reinvigorate the Republican Party status as a major party. Reinvigorate being a Republican, because they basically, it was gone, or they felt it was gone at the end of George Bush's tenure as president. So now what these guys have got to do is they got to reinvigorate the party, and they're going to do that at the expense of what? Perhaps the U.S.'s international credit standing? I don't know. But if John Boehner doesn't take a drink, and I mean fast, that guy looks like a raging alcoholic. Get a drink in that guy. I don't know, you know, but I quit worrying about it. And if those guys don't do anything, but they can't find a compromise, and they run this country off the edge of a precipice because they, for whatever reason, cannot maintain our so-called status, our credit in the world community, and the international markets tumble as the result, and this recession is not only not going to get better, but it gets much, much worse to the point that perhaps we go back above 10% unemployment, it's okay with me. Because you know what? All it's going to do is shake out everything. Everybody is going to take a big, long, good whiff at what's going on in Washington, and what's going on with liberals and conservatives and Tea Party and jackasses at the Nation and jackasses at the Daily Coast. I say, have at it, man. You know, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys. All right. Let's see. We're going to have to go through this news and see if there's anything else in here that is worthy of your attention. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We have our live streaming video of the show, as well as our live streaming audio of the show. All of our podcasts, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we get weird every night between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, a group of atheists has filed a lawsuit to stop the display of the World Trade Center cross at a memorial of the 9/11 terror attacks. Yes, the World Trade Center cross, two intersecting steel beams that held up when the Twin Towers collapsed on September the 11th, 2001, is seen as iconic by some. Now, I don't know whether or not atheists know what iconic means. It's called iconic because it's symbolic. And if you've read anything by Carl Jung, atheists, you would recognize that symbols are important. Carl Jung has identified symbols as being almost the lifeblood of human consciousness. Symbols are so important that we dive into the deepest lakes to find wedding rings, don't we? We fight people if they try to take down a picture that a child of ours made. We get angry if we have to give up a tie or a shirt that was given to us by a loved one. You know, a special tie clasp, a special watch, a wristband, earrings, whatever. These things are symbolic. The cross, the Star of David, the hammer and sickle. What did that mean to a generation of not just Americans, but Russians? And on and on and on and on we go. Symbols are really important. Atheists probably understand that, but one of the things that atheists are here a really dirty, and I do mean dirty, word. Anger the shine out of us, because that's how they get noticed, and that's how they get their name in the newspaper, and that's how people start talking about them. If they can just walk right smack dab into the middle of a kid's Christmas pageant, for instance, or walk right smack dab, and of course they tell us that this is the public interest that they're protecting, all the way from Wisconsin to Washington or whatever. You know, these people, the atheist is like the civil rights freedom riders' evil twin, where the civil rights freedom rider was actually doing some good, going from one state to the next, trying to promote the idea of human rights and equal participation in American life. The atheist goes from town to town trying to destroy cultural icons, trying to destroy the cultural reality of the country. I'm not a Christian. I have no right to call myself a Christian. I just don't. While I'm a Catholic from birth, and I go to Mass, and I can even tell you that I enjoy the Catholic Mass, I think it would be wrong of me to call myself a Christian. I frankly, that's the honest truth. But I don't get bummed by religious symbolism. For instance, if I'm a Christian, or let's say I'm not a Christian, I'm just a guy out here in the world, and they got a cross here and a Jewish Star of David there, and some other things, you know, you would think that at some point I would probably be irritated by all of this display of religious symbolism, but it's, none of this stuff bothers me. In fact, I don't even think about the birth of Jesus. I do think about the birth of Jesus when Christmas rolls around, because it's kind of difficult not to, but it's not like I'm going to be running out anytime soon and getting saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've been looking at the Christian cross and the little baby Jesus in the manger every Christmas since I can remember, and I still ain't gone down to the river and got my head dunked and gotten baptized and born again. Were I a Christian, one would think that it would bother me that I see a Star of David because, well, hell, this is about the Christian, you know, celebration of the birth of Christ. It's not about the Jewish faith, but, you know, we tolerate that as well. So, I mean, my belief is this. None of this stuff, in my mind, is really religious. That's why I'm not offended by it. I don't see any of it as religious. I see it as traditional. Now, I know it's hard for your average atheist that has they got kind of a problem. They've got this I'm wrong, I'm right and you're wrong complex. They are terminally right. In fact, atheists are, they suffer from the new addiction. Have you heard about it? It's called being addicted to being right. Not the truth, just being right. So if you're addicted to being right and you're an atheist and you are the ultimate right addict, then there ain't nothing I got to say to you that's going to convince you. But I say this to everybody else that understands what I'm saying. You don't have to be going to church on Christmas Day to appreciate all of those symbols, because it's a reminder of a time of the year that has been celebrated since the pagan times of giving, of abundance, of joy and good cheer, of life, and of family and of love. It's never represented anything negative, even before the days of the Christians. So for me, when I see those things like Christmas trees or crosses or Stars of David, I just think to myself, it's a symbolic representation of America. Now, do I feel that way when it comes to a courthouse or a place of government business? No, I don't. Well, isn't that a little bit hypocritical of you, Phil? No, it's not hypocritical of me. I'm talking about the World Trade Center, which frankly is a private edifice. I'm talking, or even it was a park. But a government building or a courthouse, a place where the business of the American people is being conducted, no, it doesn't belong in there. I don't want it in there. No Christian should want it in there. No Jewish person should want any religious symbolism there. But as far as the rest of this goes, especially the World Trade Center, and especially something that is, as they say, quote, iconic, and has represented so much, given the depth of sadness that we felt and trauma that we experienced, and the need to find some meaning, I mean, it's a pretty heavy symbol. The cross was moved on Saturday from near a church to its new home at the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. There was also a ceremonial blessing of the cross and a service led by Father Brian Jordan, a Franciscan monk who ministered to workers clearing the area after the 9/11 attacks. The government enshrinement of the cross was an impermissible mingling of church and state, the American atheists say in a press statement. The bunch of pains in the ass said it filed a lawsuit this week in state court in New York and posted a copy of the lawsuit on its website, so it's all legal like that. The lawsuit names many defendants, including the state of New Jersey, the city of New York, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and the New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. So it is a pack of numbnuts versus Chris Christie, Michael Bloomberg, the city of New York, the state of New Jersey. Joe Daniels, 9/11 Memorial President, said Saturday that the cross is an important part of our commitment to bring back the authentic physical reminders that tell the history of 9/11 in a way that nothing else could. Its return is a symbol of the progress on the memorial and museum that we feel rather than see, reminding us that commemoration is at the heart of our mission. But the atheist group says the cross sends a symbol of something different. The WTC cross has become a Christian icon, said a pain in the ass named Dave Silverman, president of the National Jackass Association. It's been blessed by so-called holy man and presented as a reminder that their God, who couldn't be bothered to stop the Muslim terrorists or prevent 3,000 people from being killed in his name, cared only enough to bestow upon us some rubble that resembles a cross. It's a truly ridiculous assertion, said this turd named Dave Silverman. Well, Dave, I'm sorry that God hurt you by not stopping the 9/11 attacks, and that's why you become an atheist. Now, see, right there, you can see you see the pain. You see the reason why Dave Silverman is an atheist. He got hurt by God once, and I think I know what it was. You didn't get the puppy you wanted for. You wanted the when you were five, you know, the one you asked for when you were a kid. I got money that says Dave Silverman didn't get the puppy for his birthday like he wanted. I mean, why else would you lash out? Why else would you try to insult? Nobody's insulting you, man. Nobody is going to you and saying, we're putting this cross here so that those turd atheists will be further offended. Now, you may think you got it coming because of the thousands of years of horrible torment that atheists have suffered. I frankly don't see atheists as having suffered anything. Not a thing. Other than the fact that you got your hearts broken when your mommy and daddy divorced and God didn't answer your prayer. So I think that that is a wound that goes way back in childhood, and you can kiss my bright red rosy. Speaking of a wound that goes way back in childhood, one that may very well be causing the problems this man experiences today, I don't know what that wound could be. It probably has something to do with a neighborhood man who invited him down to a basement, and, well, you know. Anyway, Oregon Representative David Wu announced his resignation today following allegations he engaged in aggressive and unwanted sexual behavior with a young woman. The time has come to hand on the privilege of high office, Wu said in a statement as he packed a box, put on a tie, looked around himself, and finally skedaddled down the hallway. I cannot care for my family the way I wish while serving in Congress and fighting these very serious allegations. Why am I fighting them? They're true. Wu said that his resignation would be effective upon the resolution of the debt ceiling crisis. This is the right decision for my family, the institution of the House, and my colleagues, he said. It is also the only correct decision to avoid any distraction for the important work at hand in Washington, he said. Now, if you will excuse me, please stop blocking the door. And the reporter removed himself, the elevator doors slid shut, and gone was David Wu. National Democratic leaders had stopped short of calling Wu, National Democratic leaders had stopped short of calling for Wu's resignation. But House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi yesterday asked the House Ethics Committee to investigate the allegations against the seven-term congressman. Last week's allegation against Wu is the latest in a series of charges that the congressman has engaged in questionable behavior. One of them putting on a Tony the Tiger suit. In fact, the worst of them putting on a Tony the Tiger suit. Earlier this year, Wu acknowledged that he sent erratic emails to his staffers, including a picture of himself around Halloween in a tiger costume. Several of his staff members resigning following his re-election in November, and Oregon newspapers reported that his campaign staffers had pleaded with Wu to seek psychiatric help the week before the 2010 election. Wu said in February he had sought psychiatric help, and the tiger outfit was given to him by a very special psychiatrist. I'm only kidding. Wu said in February he sought mental health treatment, including counseling and medication, but he still doesn't see what's wrong with wearing a tiger costume or coming on to an 8-year-old. Last week, allegations arose concerning the aggressive and unwanted sexual behavior by the congressman toward a young girl, the daughter of a high school friend and campaign supporter of Wu's. The Oregonian newspaper, which first published the allegations, did not identify the woman, but reported that she left a distraught voicemail on Wu's Portland congressional office phone. One person who heard the voicemail described the woman as upset, breathing heavily, and distraught. Underline, breathing heavily. In the voicemail, the young woman accused Wu of the unwanted behavior, according to sources with direct knowledge of the yada, 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 yada. And like we said last night, she probably called up and said, and this is a guess, but this is my opinion, she probably was so pissed off at this guy that she didn't do something sooner. Now the guy's resigning and leaving and coming home that she called up, and you can read breathing heavily as pissed off, and said, "Why, you lousy, no good, two-bit." She probably threw in some sort of racist, I'm just kidding. No, she didn't. But made fun of his tiger suit, and so I bet you that's what that's about. So we'll find out. But you know what? I consider this cat like dead meat. David Wu is just one more guy in a tiger costume run out of town on a rail. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The Norway shooter is insane, according to his lawyer. Plus, networks say they won't pay. They won't pay for a Casey Anthony interview. But TMZ says there's a $1.5 million offer out there. Maybe it's from TMZ. Maybe it's from Radar Online. Maybe it's from The Inquirer. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is our final segment on the program, and the final segment of the program tonight. Anyway, who knows, you know? But final segment of the program tonight. Anders Behring Breivik, this guy that is the accused Norway gunman, is very likely insane, says his lawyer. President Obama paid his respects Tuesday at the Norwegian embassy as officials in the still-stunned Scandinavian country began releasing the names of the 76 massacre victims. Meanwhile, the lawyer for the accused gunman, Anders Behring Breivik, I think is his name, who appears to be a right-wing extremist with anti-Islamic views, said his client's likely insane. He's a very cold person who believes he is Europe's savior. Oh, okay. Well, there was another guy who believed that, and this whole case has indicated he's insane. Well, the lawyer's going to say that. He expects that this is the start of a war that will last for 60 years. His mind is very well. I don't want to comment more on his mind, but that's what he believes. That's exactly what the attorney said. Breivik, 32, has confessed to bombing an Oslo government building and then staging a shooting rampage at a nearby summer camp. He told cops he was part of a Christian Crusader army trying to save Europe from what they see as a Muslim invasion. You know, I don't know if anybody's going to appreciate this, because what happens when this stuff occurs is a pretty predictable blaming of America on some level. Well, you see, the violence of America is now being transmitted to the countries of Europe, and people have it completely ass backwards. See, what's happened here is the inevitable result of democracy. Democracies sort of become multicultural because democracies are about people enjoying the rights of liberty and the pursuit of happiness and the right to life. So when you talk about democracies, you're not really talking about races. You're talking about human beings. There's nothing about a democracy, and America is the ultimate expression of it, because we don't have a cultural or tribal history on this land as Europeans and Africans and Asians, to an extent, of course, Native people do. Native people have been subsumed by the larger concept of law as opposed to culture. That's just the way it's been. Some people could say, how unfair. You know something? I gotta clue you in on a couple of things. History, as it is played out, has never been fair. Long before there was an America. As history played out, and one group of people left Africa, and they turned right, and they went off into Asia, and they went off into Australia, and they went over the Bering Strait. That's what they did. And another group of people turned left after a while, and they went on into Europe. Now, they crawled around on all fours for a while, and they wore loincloths, but gradually they discovered something very interesting. It was a very resource-rich area, as opposed to the Gobi Desert, or let's say Australia. Wow, look at this. There's a lot of stuff here. And hence came Europe. Now, I'm not going to go through the history of the world, but the fact is the United States is the result of all of that resource-rich Europe. We are the end result of Europe getting so crowded and so filled with bureaucrats and militarists and dictators and kings and jackasses of every stripe that they had to bust out and get out while the getting was good. They had to find new horizons, baby. They had to conquer new valleys, you know. They had to see what was over the other side of the mountain. And here we come, and now we got this thing called democracy. And it's all about people. It ain't about race. It ain't about tribe. It's not about culture. It's not about religion. It's not about all those things that used to matter. They don't matter. They don't matter anymore. All that stuff doesn't matter any longer. It's important, but it's not more important than something that we found to be the overriding important thing, and that's law. 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 This is what we agreed to, right? Yes, okay? Everybody's equal, right? I don't give a damn what color you are. Okay, fine. You can do your religion there. You do your religion there. I don't give a damn. Do whatever the hell you want to do. Stay out of my face. Thank you and good night. All right. We got a democracy. Well, Norway is discovering this. France has discovered it. Germany has discovered it. All these countries that I never believed, but everybody tried to get me to believe, were so advanced. They're not advanced at all, man. Now they're just coming to terms with this thing called multiculturalism and multiracialism and what it means to a democracy. Good luck, because I got news for you, man. We fought that fight. We're still fighting that fight, but we are eons ahead of the rest of the world. I'll take my chances in the good old USA. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical director Dan Northcraft, our associate producers Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, our podcasts, HD videocast, merchandise, legacy CDs, mugs, T-shirts, shot glasses. Go over and get some at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.